있으시고.
I don't know if Bob and Eugene realize, but one of the greatest gifts that the Scottish people have given to this country is fried chicken.
Okay.
It's originally a Scottish dish, and when the Scottish came here, they shared that. They blessed us with that wonderful gift, and it became an American tradition also. But it was a wonderful gift that we got from the Scottish people. So just, you know, every time you see a Scottish person, thank them for fried chicken. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this chance to look into your word. We pray that you will bless us, that you will teach us from your word. And that you will show us what you want us to know, and that we will remember what you want us to remember. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, some of you may know, this last weekend we celebrated Yom Kippur. And one of the reasons that I think it's important to look at the Jewish holidays is not just so that we know about Jewish holidays, but because they help us to see Jesus better. We look at Jesus in the holidays. And so I wanted to read, I'm going to read, I could have picked a lot of sections to read. You know, there's a section that just says you should observe it. But there's a section that I wanted to read in Leviticus 16 about the actual, during the temple worship of Yom Kippur. And I just wanted to read it. And again, I wanted to read it not so we would just intellectually know that, but that it would help us to see Jesus more clearly. That's always the goal, is that we would see Jesus more clearly. So, you know, that is my goal. So in Leviticus 16, I'm going to jump around a little in 16 because the topics that I want to talk about are not nicely in one section. But it's all going to be in 16. So starting in 16, starting in verse 7, Leviticus 16, verse 7, he shall take two goats, that is Aaron, the high priest, shall take two goats and set them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Aaron shall cast lots on the two goats, one for the Lord, and the other lot for Azazel. So some of your Bibles will say scapegoat. It's a tolerant. It's a tolerant translation. Okay, it's not perfect, but it's, most of you, some of you will say scapegoat. Okay, Aaron shall present the goat on which the lot fell to the Lord, and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell for Azazel shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement for it, over it, that it may be sent away into the wilderness to Azazel. Okay, so that's the first one. The next one in the same chapter, verse 21. Then Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel, and all their transgressions, all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and sending it away into the wilderness by means of someone designated for the task. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to a barren region, and the goat shall be set free in the wilderness. And then the last one, The one who sets the goat free for Azazel shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterwards he may come into the camp. Okay, so this is part of the original tradition for what normally would be done on Yom Kippur. Okay, there were lots of goats and bulls and things that were sacrificed, but this is one of them, the goat to Azazel. And Normally, if Azazel is translated, it's translated scapegoat. It's where we get the term scapegoat from, where you blame someone else for what you did. You know, it's usually translated scapegoat. But it's a very weird word. It's a very weird word. It has a lot of subtle meanings to it. Okay, and I'm not saying all these things just so that you can run away and impress people by what you know about the word Azazel. The idea is to draw closer to Jesus and to look at the word, look at the scripture and see what it has to tell us about Jesus. Okay, that's the intention. Okay, so bear that in mind. So a lot of people, in a lot of your footnotes, it might say the Hebrew is uncertain because it can be translated, it can be broken up and translated many different ways. Okay, so it's basically just it has a lot of different understandings depending on how you're defining the components. One way, if you break it up as Azazel, it comes out the goat that goes away. Okay, or it could also be referred to a demon or a pagan god. You know, or just simply the goat that goes away. Okay, or it could be the demon or god that inhabits the wilderness. Okay, it can have those connotations also. Okay, but you know, it can also because there's the kind of connotation to go in the word Azazel. There's a connotation to go, to remove, to separate. Okay, that it also has the connotation to separate. You're separating something, which is why it's used in that way. That can also be. What's interesting about that is in the Hebrew, it's not just Azazel. Okay, in English it's translated Azazel, but in the Hebrew it's actually La Azazel in the Hebrew, and this does a very interesting thing to the word. Okay, at least I hope you agree that this is interesting. In English, it's called a reduplicative intensive. Okay, what it means simply is when you repeat the word twice, it makes it more stress. It makes it more powerful when you repeat it twice. Okay, some of you who know sign language, when you want to stress something in sign language, you say the sign twice. You said it twice, and that like stresses. It's like you're yelling that word. You're stressing. You're underlining it when you do it twice. Also, think about it in English. We have the word chit chat. Okay, we have the word chat, but when we say chit chat, when we repeat the sound, it sort of intensifies what we want to get across. This is not just a chat. It's a chit chat. Or my favorite in English is roly poly. Okay, because you could just say it's a roly. That would make sense, just a roly. But you want to stress the wonderful nature of that isopod. And so rather just call it a roly, you call it a roly poly. That stresses the cuteness of it. Okay, by repeating it. Okay, by repeating it. So even in English we have these words like chit chat and roly poly. You know that. Where repeating it intensifies the meaning. Okay? And so in Hebrew, they have that. And the word Azazel, the sense of removal is accented. It's like it's repeated twice. Okay? That it's accented. So you'll really grasp hold of the concept of removal. That this is a big deal. That you're setting your sins on this live goat, and you're taking it outside the city, outside civilization. It's going into the wilderness, and it's taking away all our sins. Now you should see where I'm going. okay? Hopefully. That this is a symbol of Jesus. That human sins are laid on him. The crucifixion was outside the city. He was taken outside of the city to die. Okay, on him was laid the sins of us all. Okay, that God laid the sins of all of humanity on him, just like Aaron laid all the sins of Israel on the head of the goat. Okay, the goat was, and then the goat was taken away from the people. You know. If you want to use the demonic symbolization, back to the devil where those sins belong. Those were sins were given back to him. You know, back to the being that originated them. You know, they don't belong with human beings. They belong with another being, and so they're being given back. Just like, here you go. These are yours. These are not ours. These are yours. Very similar to when the demoniacs were cured and the demons went into the pigs, which are unkosher. They're dirty animals anyways, if you're Orthodox. So what's the best place for an unclean spirit to go? In an unclean animal. What's the best place for an unclean spirit to go? In unclean places. In dry places. In places where it's barren, you know, where there is nothing, that's appropriate. So the idea that you know, the way it's written, removal isn't enough. The best way to translate it is entire removal. Okay, to stress the removal, to think of it as the goat of departure, the goat of removal, like Jesus. Jesus becomes that goat, that he takes our sins and he removes them from the realm of human habitation, the world of human beings, the world of angels, the world of goodness. He removes them completely. Okay, you know, it's entire removal. It's everything, okay. Like I said, you know, chit-chats in world. Also, the word zigzag is also an example of this linguistic device. Okay, we could just say the person zigged, or we could say the person zagged, and we would get the same thing. But to say he zigzagged brings out the importance of it. So in this section, the writer wants to stress the removal. Okay, he's saying, you know, the entire removal. Okay, and then to look at this as Jesus, and when Jesus removes sin, it's complete. It's entire. It's not like there's anything at all left. It's completely removed. Some of you know I like to watch police procedurals, and one of the things you learn from police procedurals is that it's impossible to get rid of a bloodstain. Okay, you know you know people try to do it by bleaching. You know the crooks who really think they're smart. You know, well bleach where they put the body. You know, but a good CSI will come in and say, well, take that weird light. And say, no, there was blood here. You can't take it away completely. You can't take it away completely. You know, there always will be something. You get that little ultraviolet light that they shine, that little blue light, and it's like, yep, see, it's been everywhere. Okay, you know, but what's in, and the reason I'm saying that is because when Jesus takes away sin, it's gone completely. There is no residue. Okay, and that's the point of the story, that when Azazel takes it away, it's entirely removed. There isn't even a slight invisible residue of it left. It's gone completely. Okay, and that is what Jesus is. When we go to Jesus and we confess our sins to him, you know, it's not like he erases it, and it's like, oh, there's that little shade left, or like if you went with an ultraviolet light, you could see a shade of my sin. No, it's gone completely. There's nothing left. And that should give us tremendous joy, that when we confess our sins to God, it is truly, truly, truly gone. It is entirely removed, okay? And that was the symbol of the goat, that the goat was meant to be a symbol of what God was doing at that point, that he was continually, completely removing. Now I wanted because Jesus' work is more perfect than any goat, okay, more perfect than any goat, Azazel points to that, but Jesus' work is more perfect, and so I wanted to also read, I think, I don't remember if it was Bob or someone else mentioned this verse. I wanted to read this verse from Hebrews. Okay, Hebrews 11. In the same context. Okay. I'm sorry, Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. Okay. Not 9. And think of this in that context. Of you have the symbol of Azazel that takes all the sins of the people out of the desert away and it removes them entirely, but that's just a symbol for what Jesus does. Okay, in Hebrews 9, beginning in verse 11, it says, "But when Christ came as the high priest of the good things that have come." Then through the greater and perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy place, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. Okay, that's that word again, eternal, not just temporary, not just for now, but entire eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls with the sprinkling of the ashes of the heifer sanctified those who have been defiled so that their flesh is purified, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from death, dead works, to worship the living God. Okay, that if this is a symbol, and God accepted it as a symbol, how much more will the real event, the event that this is just a picture of, cleanse us perfectly? Okay, cleanse us perfectly. You know, and that is why it's good. To know about Yom Kippur, because we see a foreshadowing for what ultimately Jesus will do.